Okay, we're going to take our Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. I'm going to read several verses here. I'm going to read 15 verses, the first 15. The Bible says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." Now, I've just read the first verse so far, but you can tell the idea that God doesn't like complaining. How much complaining have you done over the past few weeks? Just think about that, all right? You say, is this going to be a feel-good message? I'm not feeling very good, so I don't think it's going to end up being a feel-good message. But let's continue. "And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again." Didn't learn the lesson the first time. "And said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent." Well, why were they weeping? Because they have manna to eat, because God provided for them. That's a good reason to weep. Not really. "And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord," now we're getting close to our text. All this other was just trying to give you an idea where we're picking up here. "And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? For I have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, and unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat." Here's our text. "I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me." Verse 15, "And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight. And let me not see my wretchedness." Verse 14 again, "I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this passage. I thank you that even a couple months ago, you gave me these thoughts, even ahead of knowing what we were coming into. And I'm thankful for this opportunity to speak this evening. And I pray that you'd guide my thoughts, my heart. Give me wisdom. I pray that you'd help all of our hearts to be open and prepared to receive something, some truth from your word. Lord, this is a different situation as people are sitting at home watching on a computer or a phone. And we're not all gathered together like we'd want to be. But I pray that your word would go forth and you would meet the needs of the hearts of your people. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're looking for a title of the message, I've called it, "I Can't Christianity." I can't Christianity. Moses actually had put up with quite a lot. He didn't have an easy job. He He got to the place, though, where he just felt like he couldn't handle anymore. He cried, "I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me." So even the best of God's servants get discouraged. Ever been there? Have you ever prayed, "Lord, I'm not able to handle anymore. This is just too much. This is just, it's over the top." Some of you parents are probably there right now or have been there with your homeschooling. Yeah, just try being a missionary. You get to do it full time. Oh, yeah. This passage can give us some guidance when we feel like we just can't go on. And I hope that you don't feel sorry for yourself, because if you're feeling sorry for yourself, it's time to snap out of it, because God's not going to, he's not going to just sit here and coddle you for feeling sorry for yourself. I want to consider how Moses got to this place where he prayed what he prayed, how he handled it, and I want to also see God's response. So I've got 3 points. The first one is this. We see a heavy heart. A heavy heart. Moses had a heavy heart. He actually said, "It is too heavy for me." If you're keeping an outline, I've got a couple sub-points here underneath this. The first one is the cause of the heavy heart. The cause. You see, his burden originated because, not because of sin, not because he was doing something wrong. He didn't have a heavy heart because he went out and drank too much and gambled all his money away. He didn't have a heavy heart because he was listening to country music and ran off with his friend's girlfriend, and then his wife beat him as a result. No, that's not why he had a heavy heart. He was serving God. His service to God led to hardship. And what we've got to understand is the Christian life is one of conflict, not comfort. And when we're just sitting around wanting to be comforted and consoled all the time and make me feel better, we've got a problem. Because the Bible says we're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So the Christian life is not all about feeling good. It's about doing good. Now, Paul carried a great burden. He said in Romans 9, verses 2 and 3, "I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart." See, he had a heavy heart. And why did he have a heavy heart? He had a heavy heart because he was burdened for his people. He says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Jesus also had a heavy heart when he was in Gethsemane praying. And the Bible says in Matthew 26, verse 37, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." Our Savior carried a heavy heart. The Apostle Paul carried a heavy heart. Moses had one too. How can we expect to be exempt from having a heavy heart? Now, we may end up having a heavy heart many times because we've sinned, and that's not the best kind of heavy heart to have. Having a heavy heart that's burdened about serving God and burdened about the lost condition of others and burdened about the sin of others. You see, in verse number 10, look at that with me. It says, "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent." God had just provided a miracle. He had given them manna. He had given them food to eat. He's sustaining them, and they're crying and whining and weeping. And then the Bible says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly," not just a little bit. I wouldn't even want to get God angry just a little bit. But he was angry greatly. And then it says, "Moses also was displeased." You see, Moses had a heavy heart, and he felt like he couldn't go on because he was dealing with people's problems. He was upset with the sin of the people. He was bothered with the sin of the people, just like God was bothered with the sin. That's why he had a heavy heart. If your heavy heart is because things don't go well for you all the time, it's not a biblical heavy heart. And you probably don't really have the right to pray as Moses prayed here. Let me just say this, that dealing with other people's problems can take a toll on you. Now, I understand the average person watching isn't a pastor, hasn't led a ministry, But when you lead a ministry and you are a pastor or you're leading a church as a missionary or something like that, you don't even understand the magnitude of the problems that you have to deal with. And you ought to pray for your leaders. You really ought to. Pray for your spiritual leaders. So this is the cause of a heavy heart. Moses had a heavy heart. But I want to see, secondly, the complication of this heavy heart. There were complications. The Bible's right there, verse 14 again. He says, I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. It's too heavy. It's one thing to carry a burden. It's another thing when it becomes too heavy. Now, he had carried this burden for quite a long time. He met resistance from the people even before they had left Egypt. And he had to deal with a bunch of complainers thereafter. The whole time he was with them, they were complaining. And heavy loads, I don't know if you ever have carried a heavy load of anything, but a heavy load tends to feel heavier when you fail to get some rest along the way. Right? I can carry 50 pounds, but I'm not going to be able to carry 50 pounds for a mile without stopping very easily. Okay, you see, you're going to get tired if you don't have a break in between. And the Lord did not intend for his people to have to carry a load that is too heavy. And that's the complication of having this heavy heart, that we don't deal with it properly, and then it becomes too heavy. And then we become sorrowful, and then we become feeling sorry for ourselves. It leads to pity parties, and it leads to other problems. So I want to see, thirdly, the cure for the heavy heart. What Moses needed to do was take his burden to the Lord, and he was getting there. He did it here in verses 11 through 15. He did get to that point, but he should have got there a little sooner. And Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are what? Heavy laden. And what did he say? I will give you rest. He'll give us rest because he actually takes on the yoke with us and he carries the load. If I'm yoked up with Jesus, he's going to be the one carrying the load, not me. And that's where we need to come to, that kind of place. And that rest that we get with the Lord by coming to him with our problems and casting all of our cares upon him, he will restore us. And not only that, but this rest renews our outlook. We can go on. We can face the future because we have brought our burdens to the Lord and received his rest. Now, when Moses tried to carry the burden in his own strength, it was too heavy. And that's how it gets with us. It's not possible to effectively serve God. It's not possible to have a good marriage. It's not possible to raise our children the right way. It's not possible to manage our finances. It's not even possible to be a good witness if we're trying to do it all in our own strength. It gets heavy. And Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 41, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is... it's weak. We need rest. So God's work must be done with God's help and in God's strength. Now, thankfully, Moses turned to the Lord here. However, we're going to see that by waiting a little too long, that he didn't handle it exactly right, but he was going in the right direction. We'll see that. Now, I want you to see the second point. The first one was a heavy heart. Second point is this. Heartfelt honesty. I like Moses. I like what happened here. I'm thankful that God recorded this in the scripture. And we find this again in verse 14. Let me read the verses for you again. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight. Right? If I found favor, just... kill me right now, right? don't ask your wife that. She might. And let me not see my wretchedness. Now, what was going on here? Moses was just absolutely brutally honest in prayer. That's what's going on here. It's amazing how sometimes we try to hide how we really feel from God. You ever do that? Don't act like, oh no, I've never done it. You know what's going on in your heart, and you're praying a certain way, trying to phrase it just right, but God knows that you're phrasing things just right, and He knows your rebellion, He knows your fearfulness, He knows all of that, and you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. He knows how we feel, and He knows our hearts, so we shouldn't pretend. We should just be honest with Him. And that's what's going on here with Moses. Now, in verse 1, go back there. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the anger of the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, right? So God was angry when they complained. Now we're looking here at Moses, and it sure looks a lot. Did you read that prayer? You read it with me, verses 11 through 15. Did it sound a little bit to you like he was complaining? So why did God get really angry and kill people in verse 1? And in these other verses where Moses seems to be complaining, God helps him. Because he likes Moses better than them? I mean, what's going on here? So I got a couple thoughts, a couple points, sub-points under this second point. Remember, the second point is heartfelt honesty. Let me give you the first sub-point. All complaining is not the same. Oh, yeah, you could just say that and it just kind of smooths it out. No, I'm going to prove it to you from the Scriptures. Now, it's going to seem maybe at first that what Moses was doing was the same thing that Israel was doing in verse 1, but it wasn't. It wasn't the same thing at all. You see, Moses was crying to God. He was not crying out against God. You can go back to Exodus and you can see a couple times in the Scriptures where the children of Israel spake against Moses and against the Lord. They were speaking against God. That's where their complaints were leveled. Now, there are a couple different words used in the Hebrew for the word complain or complaint. And even in English, the word complain or complaint can have more than one meaning. So it can be this. It can be an expression of grief, or it can be an accusation. Now, Israel was accusing God wrongly of what he did wrong. Moses wasn't accusing God, I don't believe. I believe Moses was expressing the actual grief that was in his heart. He was just being brutally honest. And when we are honest with God about our problems and the pain that we have in our hearts, I don't think he gets upset with that. I think that's fine. But when we find fault with him and find fault with his plan, when we express resentment for what the Lord's doing in our life, then that is wrong. That is sin. Now, like I said, I was going to prove this to you. If you can keep your finger there with me in Numbers 11. We'll be back to it, but a couple other passages. Psalm 142, the 142nd Psalm. Now, these are some important lessons, I think, that we should see. Maybe you've read in this psalm before, and you see, you'll read it here, David's complaining, and you say, I thought complaining's bad. Here's doing it. So why is it bad? Is it bad or is it not bad? Is it okay? Well, like I said, all complaining's not the same. We're going to read a couple of verses here, 1-3 in Psalm 142. I cried, this is David, as a prayer when he was in the cave, and he cried. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. Ooh, he was pouring out his complaint. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path in the way wherein I walked. Have they privily laid a snare for me? So what is he doing here? David was overwhelmed, and he's doing what one of the definitions of complaining was. He was expressing his grief. He's crying out in grief. Was he finding fault with God? No. He's stating what's going on. But by the end of his prayer, notice something. In verse number 7, he's assured of God's help. I love this. He said, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Did you see that? He says, thou shalt deal bountifully with me. In the beginning, he's pouring out his complaint. He's showing God his trouble. His spirit is overwhelmed. He feels like he can't take anymore either. But by the end of his prayer, you see he's got confidence in the Lord. He says, thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You want to know how you can tell if you have the right kind of complaining in your prayer? The wrong kind of complaining doesn't bring any kind of relief. That's how you know you've got the wrong kind of prayer. But you've got the right kind of complaining if at the end you can say like David, thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You've poured your heart out and you walk away refreshed knowing that God's carrying your burden. That's how you know if you've got the right kind of complaining. You say, well, sometimes I seem like I'm complaining in my prayer. I don't know if it's like the good kind or the bad kind. When you're done praying, how do you feel? You're not relieved if it's the wrong kind. Now, there's another passage that we could go to, and that's found in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. If you turn with me there, 1 Samuel chapter 1. So David, he was complaining to the Lord, the right kind of complaining. You say, that sounds funny, but that's what it is. In 1 Samuel chapter number 1, of course, we know what's going on here. We'll start there in verse number 10. This is Hannah. She's broken. The Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And then in verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and forget not thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And so she's just pouring out her heart to the Lord. The backslidden Eli, he thinks she's drunk, but drop down there in verse number 15. And Hannah answered and said, no, she's talking to Eli, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my what? Complaint and what? Grief. See, this was an expression of grief. She says, have I spoken hitherto? In verse 17, then Eli answered and said, oh, he said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Hannah had poured her heart out to God. Her complaint was not accusing God of failing her. Her complaint was expressing her grief and her sorrow. It was the good kind of complaining. And what was the result? She heard those words, go in peace. And she did. She went in peace. She had poured her heart out. She was assured, just like David, that God had heard her prayer and he blessed her. You see, this is the problem. A lot of times we kind of pray through our little prayer lists and we throw a little thing up there. It's no different than the rosary. It's no different than saying a few Hail Marys because it never comes from our heart. We're just kind of mumbling and praying through some things. It's not until we get down to business and really pour our heart out to God that things are going to get accomplished. So I don't see that Moses was like the children of Israel in verse number 1. That's why God was merciful to him. See, he had a heavy heart. He didn't have a hard heart. That's the difference. We have a heavy heart. We can pour our grief out to the Lord. He accepts that. We have a hard heart. He's not going to take too kindly to that. Now, I'm not saying that Moses' prayer was exactly perfect. I mean, we just read verse 15 where he's saying, kill me. So, But be sure that your prayer is humble and it's not haughty. And I'll try to explain verse 15 a little bit here later here. But we need to appeal to God, not accuse him. So have you ever had the wrong kind of complaining in your heart? You know you have. I have. I can't handle anymore. That's really what he was saying back there in Numbers 11, verse 14. I'm not able to bear all this. I can't handle anymore. Now, saying I can't handle anymore out of dependence on God is a lot different than saying it out of anger and resentment. It all comes down to our heart attitude. And a lot of times, I can't really isn't I can't. Sometimes it's that hardened attitude. It's more, I won't. I won't. I am not going to put up with any more of this, Lord. Now, you're walking on some dangerous territory there. Moses said, I can't. When he said it, it was a cry for help. A lot of times, the I can't is really I won't, and that's not a cry for help. That's a cry of defiance. So be careful not to cross that line like the children of Israel did in verse number 1. So not all complaining is the same. The second subpoint there is not all our requests are granted. Now, verse 14 again. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. Now, I didn't read the rest of the passage. We will get there. But in verses 16, 17 there, and 18, we see that God actually, he answered that prayer. It was a request for help, and God granted that request. We'll see that. So it's a blessing that God hears those brokenhearted prayers, and he likes to intervene. Then we see verse 15. I'd like to read that one again. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I find, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Now, that kind of seems like a foolish request to me. Was this request granted? If you read the rest of the passage, you're going to see that it was completely ignored. God never even acknowledged that he heard it. I think that's amazing. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give us what we ask for sometimes? Because sometimes we're asking for the wrong things and for the wrong reasons, and it's pretty good that he doesn't answer those foolish requests. Now, to be honest here, Moses was discouraged, and the reason he was discouraged is because of the sins of the people. This is the way it seems to me, that he was praying, Lord, I'd rather die than to have to experience this wretchedness due to having to deal with their sin. Now, that's a little differently than I feel sorry for myself. I'm not saying he didn't feel sorry for himself. Anytime you're just saying, Lord, kill me, I don't know that that's really the best that's the best prayer request. That's why God ignores it, never even addresses it, okay? But understand him. It seems like he was just fed up with their sin, and he couldn't go on any longer without God intervening in some way. And if that's the way it was really meant, isn't that also really then a cry for help? Lord, I can't go on like this. I'd rather die than have to do with this. I need some help. And he had already kind of asked for some help in verse 14. So it's interesting that the Lord never addressed what Moses said in verse 15. And you know what that reminds me? This whole encounter reminds me of Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, where it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. And what's mercy? When God withholds what we really deserve. And I think that's what God did there. And it says, and find grace to help in time of need. Moses found mercy because God didn't kill him. And he found grace to help in his time of need because God provided a way to help him through this whole thing. So I think that's a beautiful picture there. Now, let me get to the third and final point. I know some of you are probably ready to get to your popcorn at home. No. Found in verses 16 and 17. Heavenly help. All right, this is the feel, well, it's mostly feel good part of the message. Heavenly help, partly feel good. Verses 16 and 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So notice that the Lord, you know, here, the Lord answered Moses. It says in verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses. Here, he's pouring out his heart to God, and God answers him. And that tells me right away that if I pray with an honest heart, with heartfelt prayer, I might be carrying a heavy burden, but I can come and just cast my burden upon the Lord. And if I'm really open and honest with the Lord, I can expect God to hear me and to help me. And so can you. Now, there's a few things we see here about this heavenly help. The first one is we see God's presence. Find this there in verse number 17. He said, and I will come down. God's presence. What more could we want when God comes down and goes through the fires with us? If God comes down, you and I can handle any problem that we confront. Anything. When God comes down. I like that. I will come down. And so when he's with me, when he's there, you know, you can deal with those family problems when he's there. So I can't, it's too heavy, it's, I don't know what. I'll come down. Oh, okay, we can get this. Those money problems. I don't know where the money's going to come to pay those bills. I will come down. Oh, all right. You own the cattle on Thousand Hills. I think we'll be all right. It's all good, right? Those health problems. I'll come down. I'll help you through. I was going over this message this afternoon. I was just thinking of one of the times where I was really, really sick in Africa. I had gotten dysentery very badly, and it turned into, I was passing blood. It turned into infectious colitis. My insides were swollen shut. I was down in the, had a procedure anyway, and they stuck me in the hospital, and I was doubled over in pain. I was extremely weak. I was so dehydrated they couldn't find a vein. They kept collapsing when they were trying to put the IV in. And long story short, two nurses came in. It was a shift change. They tried a couple times in my hand. They tried a couple times in my feet in different places. And they were giggling and laughing because they couldn't get it. And then they left the kid at the foot of the bed and they left and never came back. And I'm really weak, really tired, lots of pain, on morphine. And I'm thinking, if I go to sleep right now, I may not wake up. I need an IV. And I did the, you know, the old shuffle, like the 95-year-old guy hunched over. I barely get out. I could hardly talk. I had cotton mouth. Anyway, long story short, I think after the seventh time, they finally found a vein that didn't collapse. But there was a lot of prayer going on there, too. During this time, I had called my wife. She was back in Zambia. I'm down in South Africa, and I'm just like, just hearing her voice was a help. It was a comfort. I really thought I was going to die there. I probably would have, was going to. I felt as low as I could. And I'd love to stand here and tell you that, you know, I felt the arms of God wrapping around me and I felt no pain. I'm sorry, I felt like trash. But I did have peace once I got the IV in me and I said, oh, I can go to sleep now. God will come down in your darkest hours, and he'll help you through. I know he will. A lot of times, our darkest hours are not really so dark. We've just made them out to be that way. We've made a mountain out of a molehill. But God promises to help. We see here, he helped Moses. He says, I will come down, and he did. We We could read that there in verse number 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did cease. And did not cease. But so what a blessing. God said, I'm going to come down. And he came down. God's in the habit of keeping his promises. But not only that. So we see God's help. We see God's presence. But then we see God's provision. Verse number 17, he says, I will come down and talk with thee, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And I like this part. They shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. That was Moses' main request there in verse 14. He says, I'm not able to bear all this people alone. So God said, okay, I'll give you some people to help you. So his provision was that he sent some help along the way. Isn't it a blessing? Isn't it always helpful when someone understands what we're going through and comes by and kind of encourages us? And the Lord can give you someone to share that burden with. And it's a huge relief. It's a huge blessing when another Christian sees you're struggling with something and they come by and they speak a word of encouragement. And God knows who to send and when to send them. Haven't you found that to be true? Man, I found that to be true. You'd be down and then you see someone, they speak a word, or you get a note or an email or a letter or something. It's like, oh, all right, I can keep going. This is all right. I can handle this. Why? Because God provided someone to help us through. God's there. He wants to help you through things. The third thing I see about this, with this heavenly help, not only God's presence and his provision, but we see God's plan. Notice that God did not take away the problem. All right? It says, they shall bear the burden of the people with thee. In other words, you're still going to have to bear this problem. I'm not taking this problem away. And he gave Moses help, but Moses still had to face the problem. And now the people had sinned, and they needed to be confronted. And we find that in verses 18 through 20. I won't read the whole thing, but just if you want to look at that, they had sinned, and they needed to be told that they had done wrong. Now, this is a difficult task, okay? He told them that they were going to have, I can pick it up here in verse number 19. He says, you shall not eat one day, talking about the flesh, because they were crying after flesh, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Now, Moses is going to have to get up there and tell them, hey, you're going to have food you're going to have enough meat. It's going to be coming out your nose. You're going to have so much. You're going to be eating for 30 days. That wasn't easy. But here's the lesson. When times are tough, we're not excused from our responsibilities. Remember that. God gives his strength for the battle, but he doesn't excuse us from the battle. Moses had a heavy heart, but he still had a job to do. God didn't say, well, you're a little bit overwhelmed now, so you can just take a break. You can go on vacation for 5 weeks and, not have to worry about anything. I feel bad for you. He said, all right, I'll give you some people to help you, but there's a problem over there. Go take care of it. That was God's plan. And that's how God tried to help him through this problem. And if you have problems, maybe you got problems with your children, and you got to trust God to help you deal with them. As I mentioned earlier, you're homeschooling during this nationwide shutdown. And it's going really well, isn't it, sometimes? Sometimes not. You say, what do I do? I can't do it. So we're just not going to do it. No, just do it. You're not excused from it because you're having a hard time. Well, I don't know. I got problems with my money. So face your problems and deal with them. Make a budget. Cut spending. Sell something. Stop buying. Do something. We still have to face our problems, and many people think that if they cry and whine loud enough and long enough, that they don't have to fulfill their responsibilities, that all their problems are going to go away. And there are so many adults that are like five-year-olds that just stomp up and down like and have a fit. I can't do this. And they want, everyone's, okay, then you don't have to. Sorry, that's not how God works. Moses, this is too heavy, I can't handle it. He says, okay, I'll give you some help, but go do it. Part of God's help is telling us to get busy and do what we're supposed to be doing. And if we're busy serving Him in His strength, we're not going to have time to sit around feeling sorry for ourselves. Lord oftentimes tells people to get busy when they're having a pity party. Remember Joshua in Joshua chapter 7? He's complaining that God had failed Israel because, oh, they lost the battle at Ai. And what was God's response? Find it in Joshua 7, verse 10. Also in verse 13, he said this, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Up! Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. What was God saying? Just don't sit there wallowing in self-pity. Get up and do what you're supposed to do. There's a responsibility, and you've got to take care of your responsibilities. And what we've got to understand is we may be overwhelmed. We may feel like we can't do things. Take that burden to the Lord. Trust Him. Seek Him in prayer. He will give you the help you need, but then get busy and go do what you're supposed to do. Stop sitting around having a pity party, feeling sorry for yourself, because no one wants to show up for your pity party. Part of God's plan to help us when we're feeling down is to get us busy serving Him again and fulfilling the responsibilities we know we have. The I can't Christian doesn't get a free pass. I can't. Okay, then you don't have to. No, that's not how it goes. You want help? Get busy. We say, that's not the feel-good that message I was looking for. Too bad. That's what God said to do. And the last thing we see about God's help is we see God's power. What the Lord had told Moses to tell the people was seemingly unbelievable. Really, I mean, you think about it. All you can eat rotisserie quail for a month. That's what He was telling them. Talk about indigestion. Verses 21 and 22, Moses, you know, like us, might express some doubt. Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? So there's a little bit of doubt going on here, but God reminds him of some things here. He reminds him that He's got all the power that's necessary. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand short, wax short? Then he said, I like these next three words, thou shalt see. Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Is the Lord's hand wax short? No. Can God reach down and meet our needs? Yes. Why? Because He has power. And did Moses see it? Yes, he did. And when did he see it? After he obeyed and took care of his responsibility. If you want to see a miracle, obey. You want to see and receive God's strength, obey. Do what God has told you to do, and you will start seeing God working in your life. We're all going to have burdens. We're all going to feel like things are heavy. But when it becomes too heavy, that wasn't God's intention. And make sure that you pour your heart out to God. But when you do, do it with the right attitude. I'm not giving you a free pass. I'm not trying to say you should just go up here tonight after this and start complaining all on belly aching to God. Oh, you better not cross that line. Err on the side of caution. But then you can look for God's help. And as the Bible says, he will come down. And he'll provide someone to help you somehow, some way, carry that burden. And he's not always going to take that problem away. He expects us to fulfill our responsibilities, even when things are tough. We've got to just do what we're supposed to do. But if we obey, he's going to step in. We're going to see his power. And as the scripture says, thou shalt see. Do you want to see? Do you want to see God work? Take these steps and you'll see God working.